Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we're here with...
Julie Kent, Artistic Director of the Washington Ballet.
An old friend here now.
Yes.
And sir?
Ethan Stiefel, Choreographer for Frontier, which is the new creation.
Yes, it's coming to the Kennedy Center on May 25th through the 27th. It's a really cool concept, guys. So it's timed with the centennial of JFK. They're doing it, I think, a bunch of programs over the summer. But this one is awesome. It's called Frontier, inspired by the old space race and his exploration and that inspired so many people. Explain how you decided to do this. Does the Kennedy Center call you up, or you just happen to be working on this, or how does that work out?
No, Julie Kent calls you up. And so I literally got a phone call from Julie just saying she wanted to... talk, and I suppose it was nearly a year ago, almost exactly, to the day that you presented the idea of doing a new ballet, and along with that, she was discussing the fact that she'd like it to be connected with JFK, and I think you had the centennial in the back of your mind, and so I was extremely excited and grateful. Thank you, Julie,
for
the opportunity.
Welcome.
And went to work just trying to figure out what the subject or the topic would be, something right. Being connected with JFK. And obviously there would be a whole bunch of different ways I could go with it. And
the Bay of Pigs ballet wouldn't be...
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I'm not sure I can do that. But I think not only myself, but so many people are intrigued by space and space travel. That really resonated with me, and I felt it was something that I could do in terms of building vocabulary and a theatricality that would be expressive and would come across in a very strong way through dance.
That's awesome. So Julie, were you in contact with the Kennedy Center about this, or how did you say, all right, we need to find something for JFK?
This was my own idea.
Wow.
That's
scary.
I attended a dinner party at the home of George and Liz Stevens in honor of Deborah Rotter of the Kennedy Center. And it was about a year ago in March, actually. And it was at that dinner party that I learned of the 100th birthday of President Kennedy, and that it was going to be basically the same weekend that we had our dates at the Kennedy Center. So that evening I said, there you go. I needed my very first commission. There was a space on the program for a world premiere. And as a new artistic director, that's a huge first commission. And I didn't want it to be something incidental. It really needed to reflect my aspirations for the company. And
you shot for the moon.
Exactly. We choose the moon. Thank you very much. And so that's where the idea was born. And I really wanted it to reflect President Kennedy's aspirations for our nation as artists and scientists and people of society. And so it's important to me that the creator of this work had an arts education in this country. And I thought of Ethan because he is an American artist. He's had his entire artistic education in this country. He's had experience around the world. He's worked with and danced all the works of all the greatest choreographers throughout his very long career, from Jerry Robbins and George Balanchine to all the classical works. And anyone that knows him from Center Stage fame also has seen him very comfortable with jazz and the electric slide. And I mean, he's an extremely versatile dancer. And I'm really curious about how his voice, his artistic voice, will be seen as an emerging choreographer. And coupled with that, I was hoping for a commissioned score, again, by hopefully an American choreographer, which we did secure, Adam Crystal. And so it really is a reflection of hopefully, you know, what President Kennedy aspired to in all the beautiful artistic statements he's made that the Kennedy Center itself represents. And I think that Ethan's selection of space travel is just, you know, completely creative and makes it accessible to so many people that perhaps don't know if they have an interest in dance or not, but are really interested and curious to see how these two things can connect. And, you know, it's basically putting the STEAM in STEM, you know, as far as arts education. You're always looking for different ways where you can add arts into science and technology and engineering and math. And this is a perfect way to do it. So
that was a killer answer. There's so many good soundbites. So you picked that topic. We're going to do space. All right.
Right.
Take us into sort of the creation of it and how you started kicking around those ideas.
Well, I have to say that each process is different. And I think another great thing is that Julie was completely excited and supportive of the general idea, first and foremost. And then as the pieces came together, I would just speak to her about the creative team in terms of the designers and the composer that she mentioned, Adam Crystal. And I just needed to do some homework. So I did a lot of reading, went to the Explorers Club in New York City to their space talks. A couple of good friends of mine connected me with some people who were in the industry. The former ambassador to New Zealand, because I'd worked there for 3 years, put me in touch with Bert Ulrich over at NASA, so I was able to meet with an astronaut, a planetary scientist, a historian, and just kind of gather information that would be useful to, structuring a ballet that is abstract but has a narrative arc. So,
what is the narrative arc as we sit and watch this?
Well, it's primarily focused on the experience of the astronaut. So we see the astronauts as candidates, astronaut candidates, or ASCANs, they're called, and basically how it's everybody's dream who is a candidate to be the one chosen to go to space, and ultimately we see the rigor and the physical, mental, emotional kind of training that the astronaut goes through. And we end up with one chosen astronaut, a female, who will go into space and explore this this planet that we've created. And so, trying to basically just give a little window into what it takes to be an astronaut. And I also felt that there was a great parallel between astronauts and dancers in terms of a lifelong pursuit, the passion, the discipline, the commitment, and I would say just the superhero quality to an astronaut and a ballet dancer.
I love how you said that you always thought there was sort of a connection between those two, the astronaut and the dancer. Do you sort of factor in the weightlessness sort of idea? Or give me in more of the style of dance we're going to see here.
No, I think what we're looking at is, or what I'm trying to present is basically kind of an earthbound part of the ballet, and then our space exploration part. So
it breaks free as it goes on.
Yeah, right. So the movement in the beginning is much more earthbound, mechanical, again, rigorous, just to show the intense training that an astronaut needs to go through. And then when we're on the planet to, try and suggest weightlessness. I had to keep remembering that this is a dance, this is ballet, so it's not Cirque du Soleil, anything right. like that. But, if you go back to even the 1800s in ballet in a different way with Giselle or Lassalle Feed and the pointe shoe, that essentially weightlessness was explored in a different way through that medium. But it seemed ideal to use the pointe shoe and that kind of idea in 2017. And I think, seems to be working pretty well, but we still have some work to do on it.
And I hear there's a pretty extended solo that one of the astronauts gets to do once they land on the planet.
Yeah, it's pretty major. I mean, it's not often, I would say, that one has an 8-minute solo. And I just felt that, for all the work that it takes behind the scenes with, the astronauts, all of what it takes for people to collectively get together and put a person on another planet, that we needed to stay there for a little bit of time. And so it's really one of the centerpieces of the work is this roughly 8 minutes that the astronaut lands on the planet, begins to explore it, and then moves on to really kind of feel, like she's in her in her own skin, in her own element, and is fulfilling this this lifelong dream and lifelong pursuit. So I think that what Dimitri, the designers, come up with, along with Ted and Flora, that we'll have a real chance to transport people in the audience to another world, another place, and that they'll be able to explore this planet that we've created along with us. And I'm looking forward to that. I think all of it, of course, being the choreographer, is my favorite part of the ballet. But I really think that's going to be something breathtaking. And the two ladies who are set to do it are bringing their own unique presence and perspective to it as well. So it'll have a different flavor depending upon the artist that's performing it.
Who is dancing this? Who are some of the dancers here?
We have 12 candidates, and then our hero is one female astronaut. And
a hidden figure?
What
is her name, the dancer?
We have Sarah Steele and Sona Karachian, who are, yeah, set to perform it. And then we have a husband who is also in the ballet, and then some technicians here and there to help facilitate our launch and that whole experience.
That's awesome. All right, so we went a lot into sort of the dancing style and how you sort of take this mathematical thing and make it an abstract, beautiful art form, dancing. But what do we see visually? What is it, like a minimal set, or is it look like space on stage, or, you know, what do we see from, like, you know, set design wise, if there is any?
Well, I'm really excited about all of the design, whether it be scenic or costume design. The scenic designer is Dimitri Simpkin, who is a former dancer, and so it's ideal that he's now designing and is going to design a piece for this ballet. And that's going to use different components, but one of the main elements is animation or projection.
Oh, cool.
Which seemed appropriate for this subject matter.
Like a rear projection behind the dancers?
Rear projection, I think front projection as well, and string curtains that will capture the image, but you can also project through it to give us some different textures and dimensions. And then just going back to, again, someone who I was serendipitously put in touch with in the industry, introduced me to Ted Southern at Final Frontier Designs, and he's an actual spacesuit maker. Oh, is a contractor with NASA for spacesuits and gloves and all of that type of thing. But he actually went to theatrical design school, has worked on shows such as Cirque du Soleil, worked with doing different elements design-wise with Victoria's Secret, I believe. So I had no idea that's who I'd be working with, but I think it's a fantastic thing, certainly from my perspective, to work with someone who's inside the space industry and is living and breathing that every day. So I've learned a heck of a lot, and they can bring that authenticity to what they're doing. Again, we're doing something that's abstract, but to have somebody who is legit is really just the real deal and authentic. Yeah. In the space industry, designing the costumes, flight suits, our astronaut space suit and all of that. I think that, I couldn't have imagined that would happen, and I'm just grateful that they're collaborating with us.
Oh, the music composer you were talking about. Tell me more about him.
Yeah, I first began to work with Adam Crystal when I was an artistic director and commissioned a few ballets from other choreographers that had used him as a composer. And then I worked with Adam for Flesh and Bone, a television series on Stars, and thought he was the ideal guy to work on this project. And I think we've got a really fresh, engaging, and exciting score that has, classical music sophistication using the orchestra, but also a more modern touch and essence in terms of using electronic sound, digital sound. And, so it will, I think, as well be able to really act as part of the storytelling, not in terms of just choreographing the movement to it, but creating an overall atmosphere and the environs, especially as we are hopefully transported to another world or another planet that no one has been before. So he's done a great job, and he's very knowledgeable in composing for dance, as he's done it before, but also he does a lot of film and television And so I think that that kind of a cinematic sheen is also going to be something that's very unique and accessible and exciting for the audience.
You said that it was, he kind of had an electronic sound. Does that play into outer space to you? Did you pick him for that reason?
Yes, I picked him because I knew he was extremely versatile, that he's, again, worked with dance, which is its own special medium and brings a unique inspiration, but also unique challenges in terms of composing for dance. But the electronic sound, I think, again, just because there's so much technology involved, I felt that that could be something that is very suggestive of that, and then is mixed seamlessly with just the beautiful orchestration, largely string section of the orchestra, just to really, yeah, give it the different layers, different textures that we could play with, again, to give the different feeling of being on Earth and going through that experience, and then giving it a whole different tonality when the astronaut begins exploring our planet.
Julia, you grew up around here. Ever gone down to Air and Space Museum? Did you go as a kid?
I was there when it opened, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Did that plant, any? You think planted a seed that became this one day, or is that a reach?
I think that's a reach, but we're thrilled that the Washington Ballet's gala will be held there on May 12th. We choose the moon at the Air and Space Museum. It's a really, again, a really important moment of collaboration between art and science. And we're really thrilled that all the sort of stars aligned for this to happen.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah, the stars have aligned. It's a wonderful aspiration for the Washington Ballet and a great opportunity for all of us.
I just love the concept. Has anyone ever done a space ballet before? I mean, you guys would know better than me. Or is this pretty one of a kind?
No, I think that it's going to be, yeah, unique to the Washington Ballet for sure. I think maybe you know, in the history of dance, once or twice that I would know of, perhaps. But I don't think in terms of what we're doing with the design, with the music, even with the movement, all of those different things, I think, in the spirit of JFK, that it can be groundbreaking and have that pioneering spirit that's infusing the work.
Well, this whole thing just sounds exciting. From the concept to then how the execution, how you're describing it, this sounds great. I can picture it in my mind. Just in closing, why should we come out? What's the final sell? They heard this interview? Like, what gets them out there?
Well, you know, the Washington Ballet is at the end of its 40th anniversary season, and it's very much in pursuit of its exciting next chapter and really setting a new standard for the company and in its artistic quest. And we're really just thrilled about this opportunity to create something completely new and hopefully engaging and captivating to the entire greater Washington area.
Awesome. Again, it is called Frontier by the Washington Ballet at the Kennedy Center, May 25th through May 27th. Thanks so much for coming in. This is great.
Thank you, Jason.
Good to be here.